Welcome back to How to Get Scouted. I'm Drew.
I'm Olu.
We've got a very interesting episode this week. We're talking to Neil Trotman, who is a sports psychologist. Is that right?
Yeah, and psychotherapist and counsellor, yeah, in sports.
Okay, and you're qualified, professionally qualified. Can you just tell our audience a little bit about what you do and how you do it?
Yeah, ex-professional footballer, played for Southampton, Preston, Huddersfield, Oldham, Burnley, Plymouth, so I've been up and down the country. So yeah, unfortunately, injuries led to me to be retired in 2015. So when I did retire, I was wondering, what am I doing? Because I come out of a situation where my identity was just purely a footballer, and knowing that wasn't going to happen anymore, I decided to get into the world of psychology. And something I've been really, really interested in even when I was playing football. And now, yeah, so I've gone to transition into a psychologist, psychotherapist and counsellor. And what I'm doing is giving back to the kind of the game, really, because I know there's a lot of vulnerable players out there you could do with somebody who maybe have a bit of an insight into what's actually going on in their heads, really, because sometimes it's hard to even know what's going on in your head in general, not just in football. So, yeah, my way just to give back in that sense.
So you're quite a unique position in that you're an ex-professional footballer and you've been through a lot of issues that you can now professionally help other people with.
Of course. A little bit about myself. I've had over 13 operations in football. I've been released about 8 times in football. I actually had a stroke when I was 22 as well.
And, oh my
God. Yeah, exactly. So I like to feel like mentally, I've been challenged in a way, and to get out the other end and understand what it takes to get out the other end as well. It's I feel like I'm in a unique position, and why not give back? Because I have an opportunity to help somebody who's going through that.
So let's talk about what you do now, and why would someone come and talk to you? And specifically, I want to talk about how you can help someone who has just been signed. And they're maybe leaving home, and they're in their teens. And what are the pressures, and how are they going to deal with that? As I said before, there must be a huge difference between being confident, which can turn to arrogance, and adversely losing your confidence and being scared in this new environment.
Yeah, because losing confidence, all it takes is a little bit of criticism, and they've got you. But that feeling of not being good enough is probably one of the worst feelings you can have as a footballer. And to protect that, you have to kind of put on a bravado. It's like, well, I'm the best, but deep down you're not. I mean, it does actually kind of come to a point where you are released. That inside, that kind of core, which you've been trying to avoid, is actually quite active in your life right now in terms of not feeling good enough and you feel lonely. So just to take it back a little bit, when I was 16, I left home to move to Burnley. Felt like it was great. And I'm going to be a footballer. People in and around me saying, you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to play football, you're going to play for England, etc. In fact, I've had a few clients as well who've been in a similar situation, and they've moved home and they're absolutely homesick. They're not enjoying it at all. Their dream of being professional footballer and like cracking on, it wasn't what they thought, really. So people see, yeah, he's going to be a professional footballer, he's going on with playing with great players, he's following his dream, he's going to be a millionaire, he's going to get into the first team, he's going to be in TV, and he's going to play for England. But what's really going on is somebody who's really homesick, his support network is away from him or her, and the isolation which you do feel is incredible. All it takes is one bad training session. We have a bad training session, you kind of get showered and you're going back to your digs by yourself in a box room, really, usually. And you have to feel like you have to think about that training session. You was poor, you was bad. How can you get away from that? And also, even though you had a bad training session, you can speak to your parents, you can speak to your friends, but it's really hard because there's a bit of pride there as well in your ego, because they think you're going to be the best thing. And by you calling them saying, oh, I haven't been great, you might feel like you've been letting people down as well. It's really tough. So to speak to somebody who's actually been in that position and understands the game in a way which is kind of, they've been in a changing room, they've been released a few times, they know what it's like to have a bad training day, and to kind of get that kind of insight and kind of regroup is to go the next day, really. There's just so much there involved as well, especially when you feel so isolated moving away from home, because your confidence as well can come from your family. By you living at home with your family every day and then going to train, you feel you've got a feel-good factor straight away because you've been with the people who you love, and it's great. But if that's not there anymore, something's missing, and then that's how your confidence can go as well.
So let's say someone is training, they've been signed, they have a bad day, then they have another bad day, and these bad days turn into a few weeks, and they feel a little bit, I don't know if I would use the word depressed, but maybe some anxious. Will they ever play like they could before? Can you give us a few tips or tricks or that maybe someone could tell themselves or begin to think about that can turn the corner to give them some confidence again?
Yeah, it's perspective. Perspective is key. Nobody likes to train bad. Nobody wants to train bad. And I mean, you're out of form as well. It's the worst feeling as a footballer because you're there to do a job and you're not actually doing it. Ultimately, so yeah, automatically you're thinking I'm not good enough. People are watching me as well. What's the manager thinking? What's the fans thinking? What are the players thinking? You just feel like you're letting everybody down. But to kind of put that to a side and actually think about it in a way, which is, okay, well, I'm here for a reason. I'm signed. They wouldn't have me here if it wasn't good enough. So what can I do to kind of rectify that? Again, perspective is key. I think it's important to know that everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad week. Some people have a bad month as well when it comes to training, but it's what you do outside of that to work towards getting better. You're going to have a bad day, but at such a young age, you're kind of learning the game. You're supposed to make mistakes. In fact, at 16, 17, mistakes are actually key because it helps you improve. So when you get into the first team. So make a mistake at 16, 17 isn't that bad, actually. Make a mistake at all isn't bad. It's just how you what you do outside of it. Okay, what might if I make a mistake at a certain, if it's heading or if it's tackling, what am I doing to actually improve that? Am I going away by myself to actually know that, yeah, I need to work on that? Or can I speak to someone to say that, no, you are actually good enough. You're in a position, you do some great things as well. It's important to focus on the negatives, but the positives is why you actually got into the situation in the first place. So you can think about what you're actually good at, focus on that. The rest will come together, I'm sure it will. But it's important to stick to that and also know that you can improve and you will improve. And it's actually normal to feel like you're not good enough and you're only human as well. So people are going to have bad games. The greats do.
Mm-hmm. But now that's a good point. And when you look at the elites, especially with Cristiano Ronaldo, right? His mindset is kind of unbreakable. You see him do many mistakes, right? But he's still going to try to do the same thing. He's not going to shy away from it. And that's what I believe, where players who doesn't have that mindset, they just shy away from the game. You know, if they do one mistake, they're scared to even get on the ball. And to break away from that, you actually need to get on the ball to redeem yourself. And even if you do the same mistake again, can you get on the ball again and show that confidence? So that's when Drew Zark's in the fine line between arrogance and what was it again? Confidence.
Yeah.
Right. If you look at Ronaldo as well, again, some people will say he's arrogant, right? I think he's very confident, but there is a fine line where, as a footballer, right, you do always come across as arrogant. And unfortunately, that's what the outside viewers see, right? But if you're probably with him, you know, day after day, you would know that he's built his confidence so up to a level where it's unbreakable. And I feel like your job as well probably is building players' confidence up, you know, making them have that voice in their head saying, don't shy away, you can do it because you've done it already.
Yeah, it's important. I think you make a good point, actually, in terms of Ronaldo. When he makes a mistake, he still cracks on and he still obviously scores the goals he does. He's not good at everything, Ronaldo, but what he is good at, he's very good at. Very, very, and he focuses on that as well. Hence why he's very good at scoring goals. He's a goal scorer. And you can tell the way he reacts in the 18-yard box that he's actually worked on that. He's worked on it so much. If you compare him to Messi as well, Messi's very good on the ball. He's very, very good on the ball. Ronaldo isn't as good on the ball, but obviously Ronaldo is fantastic. He's an unbelievable goal scorer. But you see where Ronaldo is. He stays within and around probably the box or not too far because he knows his strengths and he works at it so much. And if there's a problem, he tackles it.
Mm.
If the chance, no, I'm not good enough. I'm going to score. It's that belief because he's worked at it so much in training. He knows if he gets in that situation again, he will score. It's a fact, the fact that he's worked and in his mindset, it's like, no, I am good enough. He probably tells himself every day. You could probably see in his demeanor as well. Even in just walking, he just thinks like, I'm great.
Mm.
He can maybe mistake it as arrogance, but at the same time, it's helping him get through to a point where he's successful. And sometimes he's probably had a setback in his life as well, which has kind of driven him to be the best he can be.
Absolutely. So, Neil, would you say for players to kind of get to that level or near that level, right, what are the key stuff that they have to do? For example, is affirmation one of them? And obviously, for me, I think what's very important is repetition. Repetition in, for example, if you're good at, you know, crossing a ball, right, you train on that every single day because then you actually pinpoint your strength.
Yeah, you have to be dedicated. You have to be dedicated. You have to be true to the cause as well. Again, like you said about the crossing, if it's one of your strengths as well, if it's something you might need to work on, constantly do that. You need to work at your game. It's important. Mm. People revise for exams because they want to do well in it. Just like football, you need to train to do well in the game. I can only relate to myself in a way, which is, and certain clients as well. I got released when I was 18 at Burnley. And one of the reasons why I got released was because I wasn't good enough on the ball. Hated it. My life was completely over. It's the worst thing ever, actually. It's probably one of the worst things to this day, which has happened to me. It's definitely in my top three. And as a young player, you think, wow, my life's over. But there comes a point in your life where it's like, okay, I need to take responsibility for me. I need to be accountable. And if I'm not good on the ball, I'm going to work at it. And nothing's going to get in my way as well. At the time, we're a twin brother, and we've got the same friends. They were going away on holiday. A lad's holiday. And I was like, well, I want to be a footballer. I haven't got a club. What am I doing going on holiday? Because if I'm going away for 2 weeks, it's kind of biting into my time of improving myself and trying to find a club. So I made the decision not to go. And I realized then I was dedicated. I knew where I needed to get to and I knew what I needed to do. So that was kind of sacrifice certain things with my friends, going away on holiday and actually putting that time and effort in, going to the gym, getting the ball and actually doing kick-ups to really become accustomed to it as well, kicking against the walls, really dedicated and determined to improve my game. Because I knew, as much as you don't want to believe it, clubs will only get rid of you if they feel they can't profit from you and you're not an asset. So you're kind of thinking, all right, okay, I need to get to a point where I am good. I'm going to show you. I use that. I use me being released to drive me, really. I was like, I'm going to show you because I know I'm a good player. It's really getting to that point. I was here for a reason. I've had great games and those great games, if I can stay at that level, it'll move me on. It's just the fact that I didn't have those great games enough, if I'm being honest. So what can I do to maintain that? And that's work hard at my game. Also, I'm very good at heading the ball. So I worked hard on that as well. So I could perfect it in a way. And it turns out moving forward in my career, heading the ball was a great asset to my game as well. So sacrifice and determination. You are going to have setbacks. It's life. Life is all about setbacks. Just how you get away, get up from that, and also realizing what you actually bring to the table. Because to get in that situation anyway, a professional club, it's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do. I think it's probably less than 1% who actually get to that point. So the fact that you can get to that point shows that you've got something. Again, life is all about setbacks. It's how you recover from that. Because if you really want something, you go out and get it. It's just sometimes you might not have the support, like which I do get. You might not have the financial kind of backing, but there's always a way. There's always a way. There's nothing to stop you from kind of going out for a run by yourself, getting a ball and just kicking around and working on your game. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. Mm-hmm. I get that you can be distracted. Distractions always come when it comes to football, but how much do you want it to kind of get rid of those kind of distractions for you to kind of make a career out of yourself, really, and do something in the game?
Okay, just before we finish, I want to talk about finding someone like you. And you used two words. Well, you used therapy and you also used counselling. Yeah. And I think many young children, I know I did, I would never have dreamed of saying when I was 16, I'm not really happy. Let me find someone that can help. Let me find a counsellor. What would you say to encourage people to ask for help, not from friends and family who come with a different perspective, but someone that you don't know, a counsellor, a therapist, to help you through these, to come to terms with these difficult moments that you have, even if it's, oh, I'm leaving my home and I'm going 200 miles north and I'm going to be on my own. What would you say to encourage, you know, players, young players, to look for professional help?
The mental side of the game is the most important part of the game. Yeah, you can have all the skill, the attributes to get you to a certain point, but mentally is what kind of gives you the longevity in order to make it. So, like you just said, if you're moving home at 16, all you're doing by talking, reaching out to somebody who's a therapist or a counsellor, is it's self-care. You might not feel anything's up, to be honest, but sometimes just checking in, maintenance in terms of, oh, I'm feeling like this. I know it's not kind of, not feeling low, but I just want to feel like, how can I avoid getting into this situation? So it's mainly guidance as well, really. People think therapy and counselling is like going really deep into trauma or whatever it may be. It's not. Sometimes it's just talking to someone about how your day's been. You could talk to someone about how good your day's been as well. It's still nice to talk about how you are, and it goes the, and obviously to get a good understanding of who you are at such a young age is key, because you'll know your strengths and weaknesses. And when you go to a weak point, you'll know how to get out of that weak point and kind of really focus on the positive. So it's mainly having somebody there who you can talk to, who can relate, and you can get you out good, and you can get you out of bad situations. And when it's good, acknowledging that when it is good, you can always get to that point again when you are low. And so just to navigate through certain situations, because like I said before, when you're at home in your digs, away from home, after training, it can be a lonely place, especially if you've had a bad day as well, or the managers said something which you didn't like, or even the players, or you've had a bad training day. That time in that room, I've been there. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. You feel so isolated. Sometimes you can't tell your friends because they think you're going to play for England soon. And there's a major bubble inside football, which sometimes a lot of people do not get unless you're in there. It's like, it's so isolating. And when you're outside of that, you can't really tell people because, one, you're embarrassed. Two, you feel like you're not good enough. And three, there's a lot of responsibility as well and pressure on you to succeed. And it's like, oh, this is just so much going on. What can I do? And to kind of put that onto somebody else like myself, to kind of take that and dissect it in a way which is kind of like, okay, manageable. It gives you kind of more of a clear mind and a kind of more of like a free hit to kind of train without all those pressures, really.
So it's a bit like going to the gym for your mind, for your mental health. It's part of the training package. It should be.
Maintenance, exactly. And I do feel like every club should put that in place as well. So everybody who does get released from clubs, because unless you're an asset, the clubs don't really care, if I'm being honest. They release you and that's it. See you later. I think average young person or any footballer, actually, because I do speak to a lot of people who are retired, I feel like some of the club should have something in place where at least it could be 10 sessions where they can speak to a therapist who can actually help them through the time that they're going through, really. You never know. You don't know when somebody gets released. Could be from 16 to 18 or even higher than that. Their life's completely crushed. Their life is, their identity's gone as well.
Well, thank you, Neil. Olu and I are now going to release you. And you're going to come back for our next episode, and we're going to talk about that very thing you've just mentioned, which is what happens if you get released.
Thanks for listening, everyone.